You have your Bible tonight. Turn to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. Praise God. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 37. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to read these first few verses, the second part of verse 2, on down to verse 8. And so let's go to the Word. I'm reading from the New American Standard, and it says here, Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers, and while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a varicolored tunic. And his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers. And so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. And then Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. And he said to them, "Please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and stood erect, and behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf." And then his brothers said to him, "Are you actually going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us?" And so they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Verse 9 goes on, I won't go any further, says he had still another dream, and he saw the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the sun and the moon bowed down to him. And anyway, this story of Joseph is a powerful, powerful beginning point for us tonight. You may be here tonight, and I know, you know, this is a great time of year. We're getting ready to light up the campus on Wednesday, and it's a festive time of year. Some people are decorating homes and their yards. How many of you already have some form of Christmas decorations up already? Okay, that's a lot of you. Man, I'm way behind this year. I gotta get, my stuff is still in the attic. I gotta get my stuff out these next couple of days and get with it. But it's a festive time of year. It's a fun time of year, and people are getting ready for the holidays, as they should. And but you know, sometimes there are people too who don't look at the holiday the same. And while you and I may be looking at all of the festivities and the lights and all the joy, the merriment going on, there are plenty of believers who suffer their way through the holiday every year. And the Lord sent me here to give a message to whether you're festive and ready to enjoy all of what the holiday has, or whether you're here and you are just dreading the holiday. You know, there are some people, they just dread the holidays. Because the holidays sometimes for some are a reminder of something negative that happened in their lives. Holidays for some, some people are alone, and they experience loneliness during the holidays. And so people have different, various responses to the holidays. Whatever your response is, this word tonight is for you. But there's someone who has said to yourself, if something doesn't change, I'm not going to make it. If something doesn't change, I'm not going to make it. And God's got a word for you tonight. And so here in Genesis 37, we have the story of Joseph. And, the Bible says here, you know, of course, Joseph had a problem, I think, before he realized he had a problem. Because the Bible says that his brothers, they hated him. Because he was his father's favorite. He was, as we read there, he was born to his father's old age, and Joseph was his favorite, and his father made him that multicolored coat, and his brothers were jealous, and they hated him for it. And to complicate matters more, Joseph, he had a dream, and after they were already hating on him, he said, "I want to tell you my dream." And I don't know if Joseph was thinking, when I tell them my dream, they're going to stop hating on me. He might have been thinking that, but that was the exact wrong thing to think, because when he told them the dream, you know what the Bible says? Verse 8, they hated him more. They were already hating on him in verse 4, and when he told them in verse 8, it says after he told them the dream, they hated him even more.
And Joseph's story is really amazing because God reveals to him just the amazing foresight and knowledge of God to show him that he's going to be ruling and reigning. And of course, God was right. God did show him. He became prime minister of Egypt. And while he was still just a shepherd boy, God revealed to him that he's going to be prime minister. He's going to be leading in a leadership position. And God showed him that. And God was right. What Joseph saw in the dream, it was right. And how many know God can show you things to come? Over in John 16:13, the Bible says that God will show you. He will show you. He can show you things to come. Amen. But how many know God won't show you everything? You know why? We walk by faith, not by sight. How many of you, you can look in your life, I know I can, and you can say there are things that I've gone through, things that that happened to me that I never predicted, I never realized were going to happen. Anybody later, or is it just me? I'd raise my other leg if I could. You know, sometimes we go through things and life doesn't always go according to plan. And sometimes people are shackled. They're shackled to the past. And the Lord sent me to deliver this message. And he doesn't want you to be tied, chained to your past. Can I tell you something? Your past is over. If your past, if you've had a miserable past, if you've made mistakes, if you've blown it, if you've done things you should. Let me tell you this. That's what the blood of Jesus is for. And the blood of Jesus has washed your past away. In fact, Micah 7:19 says that God, he's taken our sins and thrown them into the deepest ocean. Can I get an amen there? Yeah. And so your past is no longer a factor. You know, I saw a picture yesterday when I was preparing for the message. I saw a picture of a horse, a big, strong horse with a leather strap, one little skinny leather strap. And that strap was tied around a little plastic chair that wasn't bolted down to anything. And the horse just stayed right there attached to that little plastic chair. You could have kicked that chair out of the way. Not the strap, not the chair, had the power to overcome that horse. But that horse just stayed right there. Somebody tied it to a plastic chair, and the horse just stayed right there, bound to that plastic chair. And sometimes people are like that with mistakes from the past. Sometimes people allow mistakes from the past to keep them chained, to keep them tied up from going out and experiencing the joy that God has for them in their present and in their future. And can I say this? This is my first point to you. This is my first point. The past is a lesson, not a life sentence. I wish I could get a bigger amen than that. I said the past is a lesson. It's not a life sentence. So often, and especially, I don't know why, but during holiday seasons, people have more time to think, and sometimes people are more alone, and so they think about it more, and people think about mistakes that they've made, and they allow mistakes of the past to chain them. But let me tell you what, the past is just a lesson. It's not a life sentence on you. And there are people treating the past like it's a life sentence. Look with me real quick at Philippians chapter 3. You know where I'm going here, Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. Man, at verse 13, I'll let you get there. Philippians 3:13. We'll read to 13 through 15. Philippians 3:13 through 15. Paul wrote this, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." 15. "Let us therefore, as many as are perfect," means mature, that word perfect means mature in our thinking, "have this attitude, and if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you." You know what Paul said? He said, there are some things from the past, I just have to forget that. You know, Paul was there when they killed Stephen. Paul was there who gave the go-ahead, you know, go ahead and kill him. Paul was holding their coats. He gave the authorization to kill Stephen. They martyred Stephen. You don't think that weighed on his mind? But later in the word, he says, "I have a clear conscience. I've wronged no man." And of course, that was true because the blood of Jesus forgave him of all of his sins, threw his sins into the deepest ocean, and Paul refused to be chained to the past. And this holiday season, you ought to refuse to be chained to your past. And you might have a pattern of going through the holidays. The holiday comes, you watch everybody smiling, you watch everybody with their Christmas clothes on, you watch everybody having a good time, and you fade into the background. You may have a pattern of just blanking out, fading out, getting away from people. People invite you over, you say no. People want you to cook something, you say no. People want you to come over, you say no. But God doesn't want you to be chained to your past, and it's time for you to kick that little chair out of the way that's been holding you down, and it's time for you to get up and move forward in your life. And this is the season, this is the time, and you are the person. And God is saying, stop sitting there allowing the past to chain you and control you. And Joseph, maybe he caused some of his own problem there. And Genesis 37, maybe he should have held on to his dream. People say, well, you know, he shouldn't have told his brother. They were already hating on him. You know, the Bible says, don't cast your pearls before swine. And maybe he could have taken that principle a little bit and said, well, I better not tell him. It's just going to make him madder at me. And he told him anyway. It made him more jealous. You know what they did? They went and they decided we're going to kill him. If it wasn't for his brother Reuben, they would have killed him. His brother Reuben talked the other brothers out of it. And Reuben said, Reuben had a plan. We'll just throw him in the pit. Let's throw him in a pit and leave him to die. But Reuben's plan was to go back and get him out of the pit and return him to his father. And so the brothers agreed to throw him in the pit. But then when the Ishmaelites came, the other brothers said, hey, we ought to just sell him to the Ishmaelites, make some money off of him. And so they thwarted Reuben's plan because Reuben goes back to the pit to get him, but Joseph is already gone. He's already been sold to the Ishmaelites. You ever wonder why God would show Joseph the palace? He's ruling and reigning in his dream. He had two dreams, and both of them, he's ruling and reigning. God showed him that. You ever wonder why God showed him the palace, but he never showed him the pit? You ever wonder why God showed Joseph reigning in the palace? He never showed him Potiphar's house or Potiphar's wife. He didn't show him the pit. He didn't show him Sister Potiphar. He didn't show him the prison. God showed him the palace. He never showed him the pit. He never showed him Potiphar's wife. He never showed him the prison. But let me tell you this, my brother and sister. When God doesn't show something to you, when he doesn't reveal something to you, it's because he's already revealed your victory in his word. And if he doesn't show you something in the spirit, don't get all bent out of shape out of that. Some Christians say, well, Lord, I didn't see that. I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't know that. Why didn't you tell me? You should have told me. I didn't know that was going to happen. You just told me. You should have told me. But if God didn't tell you something, he's given you everything you need right here in his word. And he expects you to crack this word, and he expects you to get this word on the inside, and then he'll give you direction as needed. If God didn't show you what it was, he expects you to follow the leading of the Spirit from the inside. He expects you to get full of the word. I wish I had a bigger amen. Some people say, well, you know, brother, you've been through a divorce. Did you ever know you were going to go through a divorce? Not at all. I wouldn't have guessed that in 100 years. There's so many things in my life that God has showed me. He never showed me that. But I didn't need for him to show me that. Because he showed me the power of his word. He showed me the promises of his word. He showed me the grace of his word. He gave me everything I needed. His promises, his peace, his joy, his provision have been with me every day. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Your answer's in the word. For somebody, your answer's in the word. You keep looking here, looking there, looking here, looking there, and you need to get full of the word. You say, what was that? What was that first point? Your past is a lesson, not a life sentence. Joseph, listen, everything, he could have looked back on his past and been discouraged every place he went. Just being sold in the pit, he could have been depressed for the rest of his days just because they put him in the pit. But then he got sold to Potiphar. He could have looked back on the past and say, it ain't getting better, it's getting worse. I thought my situation was going to get better. Now I've gone from the pit to Potiphar's house. From Potiphar's house to prison. Someone who promised they would remember him forgot him for 2 years. If he had dwelt on the past, he never would have got to his bright future. He spent 13 years going through the various things he went through. God gave him 80 years to rule and to reign in success. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen there. Your past is a lesson. It is not a life sentence. Your past is a lesson, not a life sentence. Secondly, go with me to 1 Kings 17. Go with me to 1 Kings 17.
1 Kings 17. Did I say 17? I'm sorry. 1 Kings 19. I'm just looking at chapter 17. But verse 19. Chapter 19 is where we're going. 1 Kings chapter 19. You're turning to 1 Kings chapter 19. Help me again. What was my first point? Your past is a lesson, not a life sentence. Doesn't matter what you've done. And sometimes, you know, people, there are people who just don't forgive themselves for some reason because you're not looking at the efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ. You're relying on yourself instead of relying on what Jesus has done. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. But the Lord sent me to remind you, you are free of the past. Don't let the past chain you down. You say, well, I made mistakes. There's nobody who hasn't made mistakes. But we have a perfect Savior. And thank God for his blood. All right, 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. It says, now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And he was afraid and rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord. O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's. And then, of course, he falls asleep under a juniper tree. And then an angel touches his side. And the angel twice tells him to eat. And there's a real miracle here because the angel provides the bread and the water. And he eats that bread and water. And then he goes the next 40 days on just that food of bread and water that he had eaten. I said, that was a miracle. I said, God can stretch your food. God can provide food for you. There's somebody here wondering, how am I going to make it through the month? How am I going to get through the month? Like, our God, he's a miracle worker. I said, our God is a provider. I said, our God will be whatever you call him. If you say, I'm broke, I'm not going to make it. That's what you're going to get. But if you say, my God is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is a miracle worker. He is a provider. My God is Jehovah Jireh. My God will meet all of my needs. You're not going to make it through this month. You'll make it through the next month and every other month. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. You know, the problem with people is sometimes people want to see it. They keep wanting to see it. I want to see, how am I going to make it? How am I going to make it? How am I going to make it? Just trust God. Get the word and the promise in your heart coming out of your mouth. You're going to make it. Stop trying to see everything. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. You know, when I was, when I was 14, 15, 16, 17, really up to about 18, right in there. 14 to 18. Oh man, on Friday nights or Saturday nights, I could be found with my friends down at the Cap. You know what the Cap was? The Capitol Roller Skating Rink on Laylor Street in Trenton, New Jersey. And man, we'd be down there on those skates and we'd be getting it on the skates, you know, and we'd be dancing. It'd be like four or five of us in a row. We're all dancing, you know, and we're all doing that. And usually I'm leading the pack. We come out of the corner with two steps and then we're back into the dance, you know, we're doing, and then we'll spin around and then we'll kick and then we're up doing like that. And man, we're dancing and we're going all around the skating rink. We're doing that at high speed, just going around dancing with all that balance. And this guy came to me one night. He'd watched half the night. I didn't know if he was even there. And he said to me, he said, I've been watching you half the night. What interested me is that he was the owner of a roller derby team. In those days, I don't know if you know what roller derby is, but in those days, roller derby was all the rage. But anyway, that guy kept asking me, he said, man, I've watched you dance, lead all these people through. And he said, how do you know? He said, the skating rink floor is packed. So how do you know there's going to be an opening there? How do you know? He said, you just get through. He says, there's no opening. The skating rink is just packed with people skating. You go at a high rate of speed, and then you just step through. And wherever you step through, everybody steps through right behind you. How do you do that? How do you see that hole? And I said, I don't see it. I just know it's going to open up before I get there. And just moments before I get there, whatever point of dancing I'm in, I see that hole, and I just step through it. I never see it till the last second. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. You don't have to see how God is doing it. You just have to trust him. I wish I had a bigger amen in here. You just have to trust him to do it. And if God offers, if you get overtime on your job, you better get yourself down there and take it.
If you're believing God, if you're believing God, and if somebody offers you overtime or an extra job, you better get there and take it. We're in 1 Kings 19, 1 Kings 19. And then it says, verse 9, 1 Kings 19, verse 9. And then he came to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, and for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand at the mountain before the Lord." And before the Lord, and behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Let me tell you this. This is my second point to you. Discouragement comes from listening to the wrong voices. I know a brother won't get an amen teaching like that, but discouragement comes. If you're feeling discouraged, let me tell you something. You're listening to the wrong voices. And in every body of believers, no matter where you go throughout Christendom, there are a series of people who have gotten discouraged, and you cannot afford to let the wrong voice discourage you. Because if you'll listen to the voice of your Father, you won't be discouraged. In fact, you listen to the voice of the Lord, you'll be encouraged. You can be broke, but you listen to the voice of the Lord, A, you won't stay broke. B, you'll be encouraged even if you don't have something, because it won't be long and the Lord will bring it your way. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen there. You're discouraged because you're listening to the wrong voices. And some of those voices are without you, outside of you. And some of those voices may be in you. Some of those voices may be your own voice. But let me tell you this. Elijah's problem here was that he was looking for the voice of the Lord in the wrong places. He was looking in the wind. It wasn't there. He was looking in the earthquake. It wasn't there. He was looking in the fire. It wasn't there. But then there came a gentle down on the inside of you. Romans 8:14, Romans 8:16. That's where you're going to find the leading in the voice of the Lord. All who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. The Spirit bears witness, not with our mind, but with our spirit, that we're children of God. We've got to look to the inside. You want to see what God's saying? You want to sense what God's saying? It's not always a voice that you hear audibly. It's an impression that you have inwardly most of the time. God does have a voice, and God can speak to you any way he wants to. But most of the time, according to the word, it's that inward witness. It's the inward witness, and we're to be led following the inward witness. And if you start listening for stuff out here, the Satan will accommodate you. He'll send you all kind of goofy stuff out here if you stop listening down here where God told us to listen. That voice wasn't in the earthquake. It wasn't in the fire. It wasn't in that loud wind. And if you listen to the wrong voice, discouragement comes. Listen to me now. Discouragement comes from listening to the wrong voice. Discouragement comes from listening to the wrong voice or to the wrong voices or to the wrong voices. And now go with me over to 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. The past is a lesson. It's not a life sentence. Secondly, discouragement comes from listening to the wrong voices. And thirdly, 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. Let me give you my point. If God be for you, who can be against you? And 2 Kings chapter, I want to start with 6:33, and then I'll read 7, 1 and 2. I'm starting with 2 Kings 6:33. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 of chapter 7. We're in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 33. While he was still speaking with them, behold, the messenger came to him and said, "Behold, this evil is from the Lord. Why should I wait for God any longer?" And then Elisha said, "Listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, two measures of barley for a shekel, in the gates of Samaria." The royal officer on whom the hand of the king was leaning answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? I like it in the New Living. That man said, that couldn't happen if the Lord opened the windows of heaven. That's what it says in the New Living Translation. So Elijah said, about this time tomorrow, a measure of flour will be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. And then the king's servant, as the king was leaning on his hand, he said, if the Lord should open the windows of heaven, that couldn't happen. You know why? They were in a famine. Israel was in a famine and the city had been besieged. And they say the other armies, Israel's enemies, had united and they surrounded Israel and they cut off their food. And Israel ran out of food and they were starving. And earlier in chapter 6, I'll just tell you what happens. We don't have time to read that, but up in chapter 6 at verse 25, it says there was a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver. So donkey meat, which actually was forbidden, Leviticus, the laws in Leviticus prevented Israel from eating donkey meat. But in a famine, Israel didn't care. They were trying to get whatever meat they could. And 80 shekels of silver for a donkey's head. And then 5 shekels of silver for dove's dung. That could be a nickname for, they had these little peas. And sometimes they had a nickname that's dove's dung. But 5 for 5 shekels of silver to get that dove's dung. And that's what Israel was experiencing, famine. And then the man of God comes along and speaks for the Lord. And he says, about this time tomorrow, about this time tomorrow, really, when you break it down in our language, 6 quarts of fine flour will be sold just for 1 silver coin. And 12 quarts of barley will be sold for 1 silver coin. So think about that. They were trying to buy a donkey's head for 80 shekels. They were trying to buy dove's dung for 5 shekels. And now for just 1 shekel, they're going to get 6 quarts of fine flour by tomorrow, he says. And then they're going to get 12 quarts of barley by tomorrow about this time, he says. And the man listening says, that couldn't happen if the Lord opened the windows of heaven. What are you saying, Brother Bill? I'm saying if God be for you, who can be against you? Your response to God during times of adversity, your response to God's word is critically important. And you may be saying, how am I going to get through the month? That couldn't happen. You may be saying, man, I couldn't get through this Christmas. If the Lord opened the windows of heaven, I couldn't make it through Christmas. You might be thinking, I couldn't get through January 2022. I couldn't get through January if the Lord opened the windows of heaven. If you're thinking like that, you need to change your thinking. You're listening to the wrong voices, and you need to get God's word in your head and in your heart and coming out of your mouth, and you need to start believing God's promise. I wish I had a bigger amen. And the man of God told the man who said, if the Lord opened the windows of heaven, that couldn't happen. He said, you're going to see it, but you're not going to get it. In essence, he told him, if you doubt it, you're going to do without it. But if you believe it, you know what'll happen. You'll receive it. And I don't know what you're facing this year as we approach the holiday season. You know, the king made a terrible mistake. You know, the first verse I read here of 2 Kings 6:33, when the king says, while he was still talking with them, behold, the messenger came down and said to him, behold, this evil is from the Lord. Why should I wait on the Lord any longer? The king was essentially saying this, all the calamity that's happened, God has caused it. He caused my calamity. So why should I pray anymore? And do you know there are people who feel like that? They feel that. They act like that. There are people who say, you know, my calamity, what's going on in my life, the Lord's causing it to happen. God, listen, God is not trying to get anything, take anything from you. He's trying to get something to you. But there is a thief out there. And the Bible says the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. So don't blame God for the work of the thief. The Lord is your blesser. He's your strengthener. The Lord is your provider. He's your healer. The Lord is your deliverer. He's your overcomer. He's your victory. He's your strength. Whatever you need, God is your victory. He's not just enough for you. The Lord is more than enough for you. And if you'll trust him, and if you'll look to him, God will see you through this situation. God will deliver you. You know, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And my brother and sister, that's what's got to be coming out of your mouth. Let me tell you this, your past, it's a lesson. It's a lesson. It is not a life sentence. And discouragement will come to you if you listen to the wrong voices. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And we thank you that you don't want people discouraged. You don't want people chained to the past. You don't want people doubting your promises. And Father God, we're so grateful to you. We're so thankful you're our mighty deliverer. Father, we praise you and worship you because you've redeemed us from the past. Glory to God. Father, thank you. You're the God of a second chance, the God of a third chance. You're the God who gives us victory, and we thank you for it. Father God, through all of Joseph's struggles, he didn't get chained to the past. And even in the end, he was able to say to his brothers, I'm not going to harm you in any way, not going to retaliate. He said to his brothers, what you intended to harm me, God turned around for my good. And Father, cause your people to know that no matter what someone has done to them, people are not their problem. Cause them to know in their heart, Father God, that what has happened, you will turn it. If they'll trust you, you'll turn it so that it'll actually work out and produce good in their life. Father, thank you. You don't want us discouraged tonight. You sent Jesus. You've given us the Holy Spirit on the inside to encourage us, to lift us up. And so thank you, Father. And help your people to listen to the voice of your word, the voice of your spirit. Father God, down on the inside, where they'll receive that nourishment, that encouragement. Father, I thank you. Because you're for us, nobody, no situation can be against us. Thank you for helping people tonight, wherever they are, whatever they're going through. Lift them up, encourage them and strengthen them. Provide for them. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name.